Usually I bring the love and greetings of the Groton New London friends, but most of them are here, so they're going to do it themselves. There is a few that have remained behind for health reasons. Also, I want to give you the love and greetings of your brethren down in the Southwest Florida area. They voted in our last meeting to do that, so we're happy to convey that to you. In these last days, Israel has become God's time clock. If you want to know what God is doing, look to Israel. Don't look down Disneyland or in Australia or in Tokyo. Look to Israel. A time clock that stopped ticking for 2,520 years, and suddenly it began to tick again. It's ticking as if it's going toward a deadline, ticking as if it's going toward a countdown, ticking as if the events are moving to a great spectacular. Friends, do you know what a countdown is? It's diminishing time to the major start of a new event as signaled by the plan of the ages. Watch Israel and you will see God's time clock. Watch Israel and you'll see the hand of God. Watch Israel and you'll see God deliver his people. Watch Israel and you'll see a great miracle of our time. Watch Israel and you will then see something important. And never let it be said, we have never lived in the time of miracles. You know, we read the miracle of Lazarus. And how many times have you said, oh, I wish I was there to see that? And I think that would have been a nice experience. But now we see Israel come to life. Israel was dead. It's now resurrected. Israel was lost. Now it's found. We see God taking a nation from oblivion. 10 tribes lost to Assyria in 701 BC. Exilement and temple destruction by the Babylonians in 606 BC. Secular and cultural mixing by the Greeks in 167 BC. Scattering and dispersion by the Romans in 70 AD. Humiliation and condemnation by the Spanish Inquisition in 1400 AD. Extermination by Nazi Germany in 1945. But now we see God has repossessed his people. We see a miracle. We see God take this oblivious people and regather it in spite of the enormous difficulties. Jews being gathered from all over the world. Hear what the word of the Lord says in Jeremiah 43, 5 and 6. Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and I will gather you from the west. And I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, keep them not back. Jews are being gathered from 70 different countries, from 70 different languages, bringing with them 70 different cultures, bringing with them 70 different values, 70 different states of beliefs and ideologies. They bring to Israel what they have acquired in the Gentile countries under the diaspora. They bring it to Israel. Jews coming out of the diaspora bring a portion of the world from where they come from. So think of the regathered Jews bringing pieces of the world right to Jerusalem. It may seem like Israel's disadvantage, but it will be Israel's strength. Israel has now become the microcosm of the world. There is no city in the world that has 70 different components of culture and nations located right there in Jerusalem. As the diaspora is winding down and they're coming back, they bring these insights from all over the world into Jerusalem. As Jeremiah predicted, I will bring them back from the north country. The north country is Russia. Since the Russians have changed their government, exit visas have increased 15%. And from Zephaniah 3:18-19, I will gather fame in every land they have been put to shame. The world is waking up to the fame of the Jews in every land. It's fame in medicine. It's fame in engineering. It's fame in research. It's fame in biology. It's fame in literature. And the world is waking up that somehow their destiny is connected with Israel. The world senses somehow it can't shake off the influence of the Jews on mankind. The world senses that the Jews are interwoven with the world like a fabric. No matter where the world turns, it encounters a Jew. If you take an aspirin, Bayer, a Jew gave it to you. If you go to the dentist, Trevo, a Jew gave you Novocaine. If you have heart trouble, Stryker, a Jew gave you Digitalis. If you get married, Wasserman, a Jew gave you a blood test. If you get a polio shot, Salk, a Jew provided it for you. If you're a communist, Karl Marx, the Jew, paved the way. Incidentally, Lenin and Stalin were partial Jews. Also, the 50 men who seized control of Russia in the Bolshevist Revolution in 1916, they were Jews. Hitler was one quarter Jew. Zhirinovsky, who was the leading contender now in the political arena in Russia, is one quarter Jew. If you're a Catholic, the first 18 popes of the early church were Jews. If you're a Christian, Jesus, the Jew, opened the way for you. Civilization and Judaism is interwoven like a fabric. If you ask the historian experts, name the five men who have influenced mankind more than any others, they will tell you Albert Einstein, Karl Marx, Sigmund Freud, Charles Darwin, and Jesus of Nazareth. Five most influential people in the history of mankind. Would it surprise you that four out of five are Jews? If you live in the Bible and the Bible lives in you, you live in the world of the Jews. We are influenced by Jewish heroes, by Jewish scenarios, by Jewish lessons, by Jewish influences. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, Solomon, Jesus, the prophets, the 70 disciples, the 3,000 converts at Pentecost, the 50,000 converts that lived in AD 100, they were all Jewish. Jesus even said in John 4:22, salvation comes from the Jews. Would you agree that we are more Jewish than some of the Jews? That's why we are Israelites indeed. John 1:47. But God's time clock has rings, like milestones. It rings from time to time, suggesting important events happening in this drama of winding down the diaspora and winding up Israel as a pivotal point in the kingdom. And I'd like to suggest to you some of these rings or ticks. The clock started to tick a few years back, suggesting that Israel's double, or what we call the Mishnah, is over. And the favor to Israel has now come. So let's go through these rings and get a perspective up till now, and then we'll take a future look and see where we're going. And remember, friends, what we're trying to do. We made the thesis. If you want to know what God is doing, look at Israel. The first ring was in 1878. This was the Berlin Congress of Nations, where Jews from all over the world met in Berlin to encourage settlement in Palestine, and literally 15 Russian Jews settled in the first kibbutz called Pita Tivka. The second ring of the clock was in 1896 to 97. Herzl publishes The Jewish State as a result of the anti-Semitism in Europe. The Zionist Congress elected Herzl as first president, and the Zionists declared Palestine as the homeland for the Jews. Incidentally, it's interesting to note, Herzl was an assimilated Jew, a successful lawyer in Vienna. At first, he had no interest in a homeland for the Jews. What he wanted to do was to solve the anti-Semitic problem in Europe. That was a big problem. And it's a historic fact that he went to the Catholic Church pleading with them to help in the problem of anti-Semitism. He even said, and this is from the records, if you will help me solve the anti-Semitic problem, I will help convert Jews to Catholicism. The Catholic Church turned him down. Thus, sharpening the problem, there was only one solution to the Jewish problem, which was a home. Next ring of the clock was in 1903. This is where Charles Russell learned that the Jews were looking to set up a state in Uganda, Africa. Reason? Some Jews saw the defeat of the Muslim Ottoman Empire, who controlled Palestine at the time, impossible. You know, with the Ottomans there, how could we have a homeland in Palestine? Charles Russell wrote a letter to the Jewish leaders discouraging the use of Uganda as a Jewish state. And it worked. They didn't go ahead with it. Still waiting for the Lord to bring them back to their homeland. Now there's another miracle for you, by the way. The Ottoman Empire is gone. And the Jews are in their homeland. The fourth ring of the clock was in 1917 with the Balfour Declaration, where Lord Balfour favored Palestine as a homeland for the Jews. Interesting to note, the British Lord Simpson later changed his mind about the Balfour Declaration. He changed his mind and thus reversed the British Empire decision to allow them to go into the land. That reversal cost the British their empire. If you remember back in those days, England owned half the world. So Some of you remember the map. Remember the pink in the map? It all was England. And where is England now? Just a small little island. The fifth ring of the clock was in 1925, when Hebrew University opened its doors to the development of its young people from all over the world. Now, a university preserves and perpetuates its knowledge and its culture. And we now see Hebrew University as a leading university throughout the world. 40,000 students. And we now see in retrospect that it's Hebrew University, more than any other institution, that is responsible for the 500,000 archaeological artifacts that have been discovered and confirming Jewish history and the Bible. Sixth ring of the clock was in 1945, when the Holocaust victims were discovered. 6 million Jews killed. It awakened and sobered the world for the need for a Jewish state. The fishers and the hunters of Jeremiah 16:16 forced the Jews out of the woodwork, so to speak. Because cultural assimilation wasn't working either. And so the wandering Jew saw the Jewish homeland as the only answer. Interesting, I talked to a dentist not too long ago in Jerusalem. And he was telling me what a successful practice he had in New York City. Successful means good cash flow. And he had all kinds of investments. He told me he left it all behind. I said, why? Why did you immigrate? He says, for one reason and one reason alone. That's my home. Seventh ring of the clock was in 1948. The ring was the loudest ever. Three things happened. Israel was a nation, the time of the Gentiles were over, and the regathering of the Jews from all over the world was accelerated. It was a time when God took Ezekiel in chapter 37 to the valley of dry bones and said, Son of man, can these bones come to life? And the Son of man said to the Lord, Lord, only you know. And God said, watch. And a tremendous shaking was instituted, and the bones began to move, and the leg bone moved to the hip bone, while together they moved to the shoulder bone, while together they began to assemble with the head bone. All of the bones assembled themselves into skeletons. Then the sinew, the flesh, the skin, and the valley of the dry bones became a valley of skeletons moving. The bones represent the 12 tribes of Israel and diaspora. The shaking represents the seven trumpets sounding, bones with bones representing the regathering. The sinews, muscles represents the strength of their hope. The flesh represents the return of the Jewish culture and their community. And the skin represents the protection given to the regathered Jew in Israel. Breath has not come and will not come until the new covenant is made with Israel. And God will give that breath. The eighth ring of the clock was in 1954 when Stalin announced a Jewish state in Berovidzin. I know your brethren don't know what that is. It's a community in Siberia. I mean, very close to the North Pole. Stalin announced that all Jews would be sent to Berovidzin. There were 4 million Jews at the time. They would undergo a frozen existence in Siberia. As we look back, Assyria simulated the 10 tribes. Babylon exiled the 2 tribes. Greece culturalized the Jews. The Romans scattered the Jews. The Germans exterminated the Jews. The Russians were going to freeze the Jews out of existence. God stopped Stalin in 1954 with a massive brain stroke, which brought about his death and the death of his proposal. And that was 2 weeks after he made the proposal. The time to favor Israel has come. Nothing is going to stop it. Ninth ring of the clock, 1967, when Jerusalem in total became the capital of Israel. Now don't treat this lightly, friends. Jerusalem becoming the capital of Israel is the preliminary step of Jerusalem becoming the capital of the world. Remember Isaiah 2, 3 to 4. For out of Zion shall come forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Powerful things are happening in Jerusalem since 1967. Jerusalem has become the target of most nations. The Muslim nations, all the Arab nations, India, Pakistan, Turkey, Africa, and even several Russian republics want Jerusalem because of the Temple Mount. The Christian nations, all of Europe, the United States, South America, they want Jerusalem too. They want it as an international city because of the holy sites. The Jews with the Jewish diaspora, Israel, wants Jerusalem because of its symbol as a political restoration. The housing minister recently published and declared that the Jerusalem area will have over 1 million Jews before too long. Jerusalem has now become a target of the world. Everybody wants it. Interesting to note, right after World War I, the League of Nations considered locating themselves in Jerusalem. There was a very active proposal to move their headquarters right there in Jerusalem. Right after 1948, State of Israel, the United Nations wanted to make Jerusalem an international city. Even the Pope asked for Jerusalem to be an international city. Now, these discussions are leading to many, many issues, but to a principle that the nations want to be in league with God. The nations want to be aligned with God. The nations want to be connected with God. Nations sense that their destiny is connected with Jerusalem, for somehow Jerusalem is connected with God. If they can only connect with Jerusalem, they have their connection with God. The 10th ring of the clock was in 1987, when the Russian Jews were allowed to immigrate to Israel. They've been pouring in at the rate of 100 to 200 in one day. And the 5 million plan of Israel's population was changed to 7 million. And I would suspect that they may even change it again. The Russian Jews are the principal ones immigrating, but they're coming from a lot of other places as well. But it's the Russian Jews that want to go to Israel. Immigrating to Israel is a unique fulfillment of Jeremiah 31:8. I will bring them from the north country. The 11th ring of the clock was in 1994, just a couple years ago, when the interim peace process started. Israel has wanted a peace since 1948. That's 47 years ago. Five wars and a Scud missile skirmish has been their experience. Five Arab nations and many others cooperating also want peace. Russia and the United States have been co-sponsors of the peace process. Clinton is serious about settling the Israel-Arab conflict. That's why you see all these people going to Washington. He's serious about settling this. Of course, he's playing a little bit of political game as well. Kind of nice to have those votes. And then if he succeeded, he can go around the country saying, I brought the peace to Israel. Got to watch out for the politicians. But I think he's serious about getting that dispute settled. Peres, who is now the new acting prime minister since Rabin has been assassinated, has long been known as a hawk. But somehow or other, he's now been smitten with moderation. What happened? All of this is moving the peace process forward. It's rather interesting. The peace process has been working. Egypt is at peace with Israel. The PLO has signed and is at peace with Israel. Jordan has signed and is at peace with Israel. Now, you may argue it won't last long. You may argue it'll fall apart. But as of now, these have been signed. Bible students are asking the question, is this peace, is this the peace of 1 Thessalonians 4:3? Remember where it says, when they shall say peace and safety, then there will be sudden destruction. We're raising that question. Is this the peace, or will there be another peace? And also the peace in Ezekiel 38, dwelling in unwalled villages, remember that? Is this just an interim peace, or are this peace the peace that we see in biblical prophecy? Will there be more trouble in the future? Peres is going along with the United States because of the $3 billion annual donation that the United States is giving to Israel. $3 billion is nothing for the United States budget, but for the Israeli budget, $3 billion is a lot of money. That introduces the 12th ring of the clock, which happened yesterday, November 4th, 1994, with the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin. Now, right at this moment, Israel is now grieving a great leader. History will show that the assassination of Rabin will be a ring of God's time clock. Isn't it paradoxical that Rabin supported and even given leadership to the law of the return and to the development of the settlers? Rabin helped in the settler movement, a movement that took his life. The very people who he helped took his life. The blood of a man of peace has now watered the tree of peace. I will miss Yitzhak Rabin. I have watched this Israeli leader with much admiration, particularly to see a military man, a general, whose great achievement was the 1967 war. That was the great achievement in any of the wars, except 1948 could be as well. But even he was surprised, and he admitted that what they achieved was a surprise. We know why. But to see a military general turn into a peace dove is most admirable. And as I said to Mary last night, I loved his voice. I could hear him and hear him and to hear him hours and hours. I wish I had that kind of a voice. It was a low but pleasant and powerful sound. The shock of a Jew killing a Jew is almost unheard of. It shows the deep division in Israel, a division getting worse. 59 out of 120 in the Knesset voted against what Rabin was doing. They argued incessantly over this matter. And Rabin lived with that opposition. But he had the courage and the persistence not found in Israel. The loss of Rabin is more than the loss of a prime minister. It's more than the loss in Israel. It's more than the loss in the world. It is a historic loss. You know, there's a parallel between the assassination of Rabin with the assassination of Lincoln. Lincoln was trying to keep the country together, to unite them over the issue of slavery. He was assassinated by one who was against the unification. Rabin gave his life for peace, but it was to keep Israel from falling apart from outside forces as well as inside forces. The parallel between Lincoln and Rabin is unique. When Lincoln was gone, no one was able to fill his shoes. Will this be the same with Rabin? Will the assassination shock reunite Israel? Is there a message here from God? Is God saying, I want the peace process? Or is God saying, I don't want the peace process? These are questions, friends. Watch Israel. A quick guess. God is regathering and returning the Jews to Israel no matter what the cost. And there will be cost. There'll be sacrifices, even sacrificing lambs. For we know that clearly and convincingly. That's what God is doing today, bringing the Jews back to Israel no matter what. When Kennedy was assassinated, it shook the country into unity. Will it do the same for Rabin? Interesting to note the prophecy in Revelation 7, 1 to 3, where the four angels are holding the four winds on earth. They said, "Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads." The earth is symbolic of perpetuating institutions. The sea is symbolic of the masses of people. And the trees are world leaders. And the angel says, "Hurt not these three categories until we seal the foreheads on 144,000. We have experienced several assassination of world leaders. They are the trees. Kennedy was assassinated. Martin Luther King was assassinated. Anwar Sadat was assassinated. And now Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated. Are the early winds of Revelation 7 starting to blow? Let's take the 13th ring of the clock, which is future. Future activities. Remember, something has got to happen to make Israel alone, where all her lovers have left her. Now, here's some possibilities. Regathering to the land, is causing sleepless nights for both Jews and Arabs and for both governments. Land expansion is a second possibility to accommodate the regathering, which will cause some problems. Israel is not in the land that God has promised her. Third is God's command to remove detestable things. Remember that in Ezekiel 11, 16 to 18. The mosque on a temple mount is a detestable thing. So is the Holy Sepulchre, which is a big cash register in Jerusalem. And those of you who've been there and you have visited the Holy Sepulchre, if you remember, if you did visit it, you have to wait in line. Big, long line. And if you decided to get into the line to see what it was all about, which I did, and you go down into a small cavern, and inside that cavern was many of the holy, what they call holy artifacts. And you will see there's a slot there where money could be put in. Dollars, $5, $10. I even saw $100 bills in there, piled up. Removing detestable things. Israel must purge the land. Rebuilding the temple on a temple mount might be a cause of some serious problems. Water scarcity is severe in the Middle East. Diverting the Jordan in Israel or Syria will cause an enormous conflict. The making of Jerusalem into an international city by the UN is another problem. I believe the Desert Storm was a providential war. God allowed America and the Allies to stop Iraq without interfering with Israel, without interfering with the immigration. The 14th ring of the clock is still future for Israel, because Israel will undergo a period of peace and safety. This must happen. It is during this period that the spoil will develop. Now, there are many possibilities. The spoil time limits us, and we won't talk about it. But we just want to identify it as one of the rings. The 15th ring of the clock is when Israel is alone, truly alone, as Jeremiah 30, 11 to 15 said, all her lovers will leave her. Well, who are the lovers of Israel? The United States, Britain, France, Italy has helped, the United Nations, a lot of lovers. And if you watch the funeral tomorrow, you will see many heads of state that will be there representing lovers. But the scriptures say that all her lovers will leave her. Let me give you just a few reasons why they will leave her. First, the regathering into settlements from all over is upsetting everybody. And the settlements are alienating a lot of countries. Second, individual anti-Semitism will become national anti-Semitism. There's always been individual anti-Semitism, but now it will be countries. It will change from individual hatred to a national hatred. It's rather interesting. Russian glasnost and perestroika gave communism a new freedom, the old anti-Semitic hatred for Jews began to emerge. The episodes, anti-Semitic episodes in Russia has increased 40%. And the freedom for the communists is causing religious revival in the republics. And the Russian Orthodox Church is back in power. They have tolerated the Jews under the communistic range, but now, as they got that freedom, it's becoming sharp and more focused and even active. Interesting to note, a major article in the Jerusalem Post on anti-Semitism quoted an interview in the New York Times with a prosecutor general of the Soviet Union whose name was Valentin Rasputin.
The prosecutor general said that the Jews should fully be responsible for the sin of carrying out the Bolshevist revolution and for the shape it took. And he stated that the Jews played the big role for both killing God, there's the crucifixion, and for communism. Friends, I don't know if you know what that implication is, but the implication is they want to blame the Jews for the mess that's in Russia. We call that scapegoating. Let me suggest a third reason for Israel's isolation. The lovers will leave her. It is when the world's discontent emerge. This is described by the Lord's great arm in Joel 2:11. We now know that the basic reason for the discontent throughout the world will be a new cause. The reason or the cause is economic. Food on the table, jobs to support families. The communistic upheaval of the past few years revealed a new principle exhibited in human history that has never been. Economics is driving the politics. It's never been that way. It's always been the political driving the economics. The discontents will be so great in number that they will be the cause of triggering Armageddon. In fact, we see this discontent with 14 republics of Russia, such as the Ukraine and Georgia and Armenia and Azerbaijan. And friends, I feel that when Armageddon starts, it will start in Russia. And the fourth reason for isolation is the smiting of the Jordan by the feet members. It is my view that Elijah in the last days represent the feet members of God's elect, and a special dispensation will be given to them to separate government and organized religion from the members and people of the organization. And somehow there will be a connection with Israel. Let's see, we were down to the 15th. The 16th ring of the clock is termed Jacob's trouble. Gog, invasion of Israel from the north, will be the 16th ring. And we will leave that discussion for another time. The 17th will be the no rain prediction, which has been prophesied in Zechariah 14, 16 to 21. And the 18th ring of the clock, and keep in mind, friends, these last rings are still future, will be the arrival of the ancient worthies. At a future time, when the world is in shambles, the world will be in chaos, the world will be filled with problems, the ancient worthies at first will not be known as Abraham, Moses, and Joshua, and Samuel. They will be known as statesmen in Jerusalem. These statesmen will solve world problems, food problems, water problems, energy problems, housing problems, conflict problems, government problems, management problems. These solutions will be brilliant. They will be useful. They will be globally harmonious. The solutions are brilliant not because the statesmen are brilliant, but because they get their solution from the New Jerusalem, the ruling Christ in the celestial city, the new government. The ancient worthies appear when Christ's government is operating. From Jerusalem will come the law and the solutions to the world. Let me conclude. Watch Israel. Keep your eyes on Jerusalem. The battle for Jerusalem is around the corner. Listen to the rings of the clock, for Israel has become God's time clock. Listen to the rings, for they are a countdown to the great spectacular that we all look forward to. And may we hasten to complete our development and preparation so that we may be a part to restore and reconcile mankind.